Our text was shared with you a little while ago from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. I want to zero in particular, beginning with verse 4 down to the end of verse 9, because Paul makes some very phenomenal statements. And just not in this passage, but yet as you begin to read, you know, the scriptures, there are a lot of phenomenal statements that God begins to reveal himself to us for who he is, but also we begin to see ourselves in the light of God's word. And we kind of wonder, you know, how in the world can we measure up with everything that God is saying to us today? How is it humanly possible to put into practice? And yet that is what Paul says there, especially there in verse 9 of chapter 4. He says, put into practice everything that I've just shared with you up to this point. And of course, we know that the book of Philippians is a letter that is absolutely saturated with joy. We see that throughout, you know, the book. There's only four chapters to this particular book right here, the book of Philippians. And Paul says there in chapter 4, verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. And we may scratch our heads and we may say, always? I mean, how are you all doing on that assignment? Are you always rejoicing? I mean, it's easy to rejoice, you know, when things are going well and something, you know, may put us into a happy mode, you know, mood. And we laugh at something, you know, and say, oh, I'm rejoicing right now. Things are well, and that was quite funny, that particular incident. But yet, you know, Paul, you know, as you begin to read this entire book, you know, Paul does address circumstances that may, you know, rob us of joy. And we do have some very trying circumstances that kind of are unplanned for, or things that just seem to doesn't unfold in the way that we would like for it to unfold. And things happen to us that sometimes we don't like what is happening to us even right now. And when those things happen, those adverse, you know, circumstances, those situations, we're not happy campers. We're not in the mood to rejoice. And we need to ask ourselves, Paul, okay, if you didn't, you know, if circumstances, it might be my thing, it might be your thing, you know, that doesn't bring this sense of joy, where is it? Where can I experience, as what you're saying right there in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always? Not sometimes, not when you feel like it, not when you're on some emotional high, not when everything's working out for you, but how can this be possible? What are you saying to me in this letter, the letter to the church of Philippi, that will enable me to rejoice always? Because sometimes things just don't go well for me. Not only that, Lord, but also there are people that seems to really rob me of any sense of joy. I may be one happy camper until, as Tim mentioned a little while ago, you know, shake hands with the person that you least like. And it seems like, you know, when I shake hands with that person or when I see that person coming my way, I do everything in my power to avoid them because they just sap the joy right out of me. And yet you say, rejoice always in spite of people that you don't like to be around. And even things. Things don't last forever. Things do break down. And when they break down, you know, that you're, again, you know, I mean, I know way back here in the fall of the year, my wife and I, we purchased an appliance. Needless to say, I'm finding out they don't make appliances like they used to. Appliances do not last forever. They, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, oh, good, we're going to get a new appliance. You know, maybe this will be the last one that we'll ever buy. It will last us for 15, 20, maybe 25 years, because I remember when Grandma had this appliance or had a certain appliance, it was there at the house forever, and it worked fine. Now we buy something, you know, and you're lucky if it lasts for 3 months. And I know this particular appliance that we purchased, you know, it was the noisiest contraption we ever bought. And it wasn't doing what it was supposed to do. I asked the gentleman about it one day. I said, you know, when I read the information, the pamphlet, you know, it says that you can put 20 towels into this. Now, you know what we bought? We bought a washing machine. One that doesn't have the agitator. And I thought, wow, we can put a lot of clothes in it. Get more done that way. And so that's what we thought, you know, and the first time we used it, it ripped our towels apart. And you know, just because of the cycle that we had it on. And of course, I'm making phone calls. It got to the point they knew who it was that was calling them. I was not a happy camper. And I asked him one day when the serviceman came to look at it, I said, look, I said, in the booklet, it says you can put in 20 towels. He looked at me and said, that is tea towels. I thought, you got to be kidding. He said, no. He said, in fact, all the cycles that you see on this little gadget, you know, he said, there's probably really only one cycle that you can do that will probably wash your clothes adequately. That way you know they'll come out wet. Because if you put it on this cycle, you know, it depends on, and he said, what you need to do, you know, is instead of putting in more, you need to put in less. I said, well, you know, they're supposed to conserve energy and supposed to conserve water. Yeah, it's supposed to do that. I said, well, how is it doing that when you're putting in less clothing? Because then you're doing more washing. He said, yeah. You know, and of course, well, I won't go into other things, you know, but needless to say, you know, was not a you know, rejoice in the Lord always. I thought, oh, Lord, you know, I'm not doing well in that department. And things do. They just don't last forever. And so we can see, you know, whether it be circumstances or people or things. And even worry itself, as Paul, you know, addresses, you know, that being anxious, you know, here in chapter 4, and I'll get to that in a little while, you know. Those things do rob us of joy. The ability to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So again, I'm asking myself, Paul, what's the secret? How are you able to rejoice in the Lord always? As you are encouraging these believers, as you are encouraging me through the Spirit of God, that I need to have the attitude to rejoice in the Lord. And I'm not talking about just, you know, outward, you know, laughter. Just a joy that's inside. And as I begin to look at Paul's letter, because you got to keep the context in mind. What Paul is saying, because there Paul tells us the secret of joy, the secret of being able to rejoice is not found in your circumstances because they change. Not found, you know, in people because people change and you change as well. We change, I change. And it's not found in things because things do break down. Things don't last forever. And it's not found in about, you know, worrying about it. But there in chapter 1, I believe there in verse 3, Paul begins to tell us a little bit of where his joy comes from and why he's experiencing this attitude of joy and being able to rejoice in the Lord. And he simply says this. See, there in, I believe there in verse 3 of chapter 1, he says, every time that I remember you, I pray for you with joy. And he begins to explain as far as why he's able. And he said, the reason why I feel this way about you is because all of you share in God's grace with me. We're in this together as a body of believers. There are the ups and the downs that we experience throughout life. There are things that don't work out the way that we'd hope that they would work out. There are dreams that we have, and sometimes the dreams, you know, comes falling apart. And sometimes, you know, things just, you know, do break down. But it's a joy that we can come together as a body of believers and be able to share God's marvelous, amazing grace of what he's doing and what he's showing in our lives. You people have shared it, what Paul is saying, and I'm sharing it with you as well about God's wonderful grace. And he says, not only that, he said, because Paul does say there in chapter 1, as we read it there, he later on, he begins to talk about, you know, he says, you know, I know life is hard. I'm aware of that. He said, in fact, you know, it'd be great if I would just depart and be in the presence of God, but it's more needful that I just remain and spend some time with you folks. And he even had his critics as well, as we read there in chapter 1, because his critics were hoping to make things a lot worse for him. And Paul said, you know, there as we read chapter 1, he says, you know, doesn't really matter, you know, even though they want to make things a lot worse for me, what's really important is they're sharing Jesus. They're talking about Jesus. And that's what's important, is the preaching of the gospel about Jesus Christ. And thus I begin to see, I thought, okay, Paul, I begin to realize, you know, that, yeah, circumstances do change. We find that in our lives. But how we need to focus upon the aspect, you know, that we need to share with one another our ups and downs, our pains, and our struggles that we have going on. Because that's what Paul is saying about sharing with one another. And you've done that with me. And you allowed me, you permitted me to share with you as well of how good God really is. And how God is working, not only in our lives, but through our lives as well. Because the gospel is still going forth. It's still being proclaimed. As we continue there in chapter 2, he continues to talk about joy. And he talks about it in such a way, you know, that he says, you know, that if there's any comfort, if there's any encouragement, if there's any love, let us be thus minded. Because what I find, and it makes my joy complete. Because I see within this body, as Paul was writing to this church, I said, you know that you have circumstances that are going bad, and you have people as well, that your critics that are out there, but at the same time, you know, what's all and said and done, you know, there is such comfort. There is such encouragement. There is such fellowship that we have with one another, that we can come united in purpose and in unity. And this makes my joy complete because we're becoming more like Jesus Christ. He says, not only that, but as we continue to read, I believe they're beginning in verse 14 of chapter 2, and kind of read that section down to verse 16, verse 17 or 18. He says there, you know, again, you know, he says, you know, I find reason to rejoice because in the midst of, you know, you're not running in vain, you're not working in vain, but you're still shining like a star in a dark world, in a crooked world, in a depraved world. You're focused upon Jesus Christ and willing to shine as a star that shines brightly. And people are beginning to see that there is a difference. There's something different that's going on in your life. Yeah, people change. Our bodies change. You know, I don't like the fact, you know, that my body is changing. And I know that I'm slowing down. And I don't like that. Even my grandson, he begins to note, you know, that I'm kind of slowing down a little bit. Because when I'm out there playing with him, you know, he's playing 100%. He's into it, you know. I mean, he's into it so much, you know, that after about 15 or 20 minutes, you know, you just touch the top of his head, it's all wet. It's soaking wet, you know. And he's there, pap, no, let's come on, let's play. I mean, we're changing from soccer to baseball to football, running up and down the hill, you know. And I'm just, you know, I finally say to him, you know, I said, let's stop and rest for a little bit. He looks at me and he says, why, pap? I said, well, Pap is all tired right now. I need to rest a little bit. He said, so he kind of agrees that we sit down and rest for a spell. And so we do, we sit down and rest for a spell. But with him, you know, resting is only like for a minute. And he looks at me and says, Pap, are we ready to go again? I said, well, no, Pap needs just a little bit more time here to rest. And I know one time, I think, you know, we went out on a lake, you know, with the paddle boats. Now, he was at the age, you know, his legs couldn't reach the paddles. So guess who had to do all the paddling? Me. And so we'd go out there on this lake, you know, I'd be paddling away, you know. It got to the point, you know, that when you don't use certain muscles for a while, you know, you just get played out. And so we're out in the middle of this lake, you know, and I just stopped paddling. And again, you know, he looks at me and says, "Pap, what's wrong?" I said, "Well, Pap's legs are tired. You know," I said, "I need to rest for a spell." I said, "Let's just kind of look out in the water. Maybe we might see a fish jump out or something." And he says, "Okay." Well, a minute later, "Pap, you ready to go?" I said, "Well, no." I said, "Let's just rest a little bit more." And we did, you know, then finally we had about 5 minutes later, I started paddling again, but my legs were so tired, you know, I couldn't go very far. I had to stop again. He looks at me and says, "Pap, what's wrong?" I said, "My legs are tired." He looks at me and says, "Oh, Pap, you and your legs." And finally, you know, we did make it to shore. But, you know, in all that, you know, you begin to realize, you know, that as age has a way of creeping up on us, you know, things just begin to change. Our bodies begin to change. We don't like that. And yet the Apostle Paul, even though he knows that everything is changing, and yet being able to shine like a star in a dark and crooked world, he was able to say, "Rejoice, I find my joy, that I do not labor in vain or run in vain. It's all for a cause, even though I know that my body is running on low at times and changing. Still, the joy of knowing that I'm serving a great and marvelous King. Don't have the energy like I used to have, but thank God for the ability that he gives me what I can do today in touching lives and making a difference." And even there in chapter 3, we continue to read at the very beginning of chapter 3. You know, he does say again, "You'll rejoice in the Lord, my friends. Rejoice in the Lord." Because your satisfaction, your contentment comes from him. Not in the changing things that are occurring in our world, but only in Christ and Christ alone. And so when I zero in on those three chapters, and there's so much more in those chapters, I don't have permission to kind of go into all of that, just a little bit, just kind of skim the surface, I begin to understand why Paul is saying, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again I say, rejoice. Because again, it's not in circumstances, it's not in people, not in things, but it's in Jesus. It's in Christ alone, that I find him to be my all in all. He is sufficient. He is enough. He is my shepherd. He is my light. He is my salvation. I'm able to focus upon the goodness of the Lord. I would have fainted. Remember that passage we looked at earlier? I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And there are days I'm weary, but when I focus upon his goodness, because his word is my hope. He is my hope. He alone. Well, then he jumps on. He goes on. He says, then he says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near." Again, how are y'all doing on that assignment? Let your gentleness. You know, you don't need to go out there and broadcast, you know, "I think I'm a pretty gentle person." Because you go out there and broadcast that you're a pretty gentle person, it's obvious you're not a gentle person because you don't have to see it. Gentleness has something to do, I believe, you know, with the fact that you know that you're at ease and at rest when you encounter someone who has a very gentle spirit. Just almost like when this person walks into the room or when this person walks into your presence, all of a sudden, you just have this, they seem to have, and they don't broadcast it, it just happens. Because they're abiding in the vine. They're abiding in Christ. There is a gentle, calming spirit that seems to pervade. And you don't feel like you're walking on eggshells. Because of this gentle and quiet spirit that seems to come. Let your gentleness be evident to all. You know, sometimes, you know, in life, we're not very gentle in our words, not very gentle in our actions. I know, I told my wife, I said, we went to Sam's Club yesterday, And there was this one gentleman, you know, kind of checks you out, you know, kind of just marks your tab there, you know, puts a yellow on it, you know, whether you got the supplies, you know. I said every time I'm there, I said, this guy always acknowledges me. And my wife said, you know, does this guy know you? I said, well, yeah, he knows me. And I said, the reason why he knows me, he remembers my time when I was in the department store complaining about my appliance. I said, that's what he remembers me for. She said, Rich, you got to be kidding. I said, well, I felt I was under control. I was calm. I was relaxed, you know, but he remembers that. You know, as I think about that, and when Paul says here, you know, let your gentleness be evident to all because the Lord is near, the Lord is watching, the Lord is listening. And I know we falter, and I know we blow it. And that's what's so amazing about God's grace, you know, because no matter how many times we may fail in that area of even being gentle, you know, he receives us and helps us and enables us. And when I know that, I'm able to rejoice because I can share this with him about my struggles and my pain and my heartache, and I can share that with others as these believers were doing as well. And he loves me unconditionally, that he picks me up and enables me to continue and to learn from my experience that we call life when I'm not so gentle. For the Lord is near. He is near. I thought, okay, Lord, there's two assignments. Got another one for you. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How are you doing on that one phrase there? Do not be anxious. Oh, that's a big one, isn't it? Yeah. Are any of you in here, you know, suffer, have problems with allergies, sinus problems, et cetera? Yeah. I mean, about a month ago, you know, it hit me, you know, 100%. I mean, it was just, I made the mistake. I know that in the spring of the year, which I detest doing, but I need to rejoice that I'm doing it. I got to wear a mask every time I mow now. Except when the pollen count gets down, I'm okay. Well, I started wearing this mask when I'm out there mowing, you know, I'm thinking, you know, I'm always conscious of what do people think, you know, when they see this guy out there wearing a mask, you know, and wearing these goggles, you know, and so forth. You know, do they think I'm some kind of creature from outer space or what? I don't know. I just entertain these all kinds of thoughts, you know. Well, this one time, you know, I decided I'm not going to wear the mask. I'm just going to go out there and just going to mow the lawn. By not wearing it, there were consequences as a result. And it hit me, you know, big time. So much so, you know, I mean, I thought I had all the remedies at home to take care of it, you know, and it just got worse. It got so bad, you know, I think on one particular night, there was such a ringing in my ears. I mean, when I lay my head on the pillow, you know, I could hear my heart beating. It was just so pronounced that I wasn't able to get any rest. Nothing worse, you know, when, I mean, normally I do get up in the middle of the night, but there's nothing worse, you know, when you look at that neon light flashing at you. And you see that it's, you know, it's 12:30, and then it's 12:45, and then it's 1 o'clock, and then 1:30, and then 2 o'clock, and I thought, okay, enough of this, I might as well get up. So I got up, you know, went into my study, you know, and started reading my Bible, you know, and trying to relax there a little bit, and my wife, she got up, and she said, Rich, what time is it? I said, it's about 3:15 right now. I said, I just got this ringing in my ear. She said, have you called the doctor? I mumbled something. I said, no, I haven't called the doctor yet. And so I thought, okay, I'll do the next day. I had a meeting, and I thought, after the meeting, I'll go down to one of these urgent cares, you know, and just kind of go right in there and get fixed. You know, see if they have something there for me with the ringing in my ears. Now, I should have known better, but I knew that I was on a time frame. That's what I was thinking. It was my problem. I tried to blame someone else for my anxiety level and my blood pressure being so high. So I go in there. As soon as I walk in, you know, this urgent care, you know, as soon as I walk in there, I thought, before I sign in, it was 10:30. I thought, before I sign in, I'm going to go to the desk. I'm going to say, can you see me within the next half hour? I said, because I need to be at this client's house by 11:15. And, of course, the response, oh, sure, we can see you. So, oh, great. Okay, sign me in. And I should have known better, you know. I should have known better. It was my fault. But I was blaming them for my anxiety. I was blaming them for my high blood pressure at that time. Because guess what? I sat down, it was 10:35, and I'm sitting there. I'm watching other people coming in. I'm watching other people going into the back room. I'm like, duh, I was here first. You know, and then finally, you know, I think it was about 10 till 11. I'm looking at my watch, you know, and that doesn't help. And I'm thinking, okay, I need to be at this client's home by 11:15. You know what? Here it is, 10 till 11. You know, rejoice in the Lord always. Okay, yeah. You know, I mean, I knew my anxiety level was going up. I knew that. And I could have told the lady, finally they did call on me, you know, to go back there. She said, how are you doing today? I'm doing fine. Liar! You know, she checks my weight, then took me back to the room. She starts checking my blood pressure. Oh my goodness, your blood pressure is really high. I mean, the bottom number, you all who maybe understand this, I don't understand this, was almost 110. That was my bottom number. I mean, yeah, it was high. And I thought, oh, okay, it's high. She said, it's really high. I said, well, yeah, because I'm all worked up. Oh my goodness, we don't want you to be all worked up. I mean, the nurse comes walking in there, you know, she comes running in there. You know, once they hear about this, she said, I need to check your blood pressure again. Well, this time went down to about 107. She said, well, before you leave, we need to check it again. I said, look, I mean, I'm thinking this. I said, I know why it's high, because I had to wait to get in here, and I got to be somewhere else at 11:15. I can't blame them. It was my fault. I brought it on myself. But you know, my blood pressure even skyrockets when I know that I'm going to get a shot as well from the doctor. I said, you know, when you're putting that cuff on me, I said, I know my blood pressure is going to be high because I know you're going to give me a shot. And I don't like shots. I have a very low tolerance for pain. I know that. And just things just kind of, you know, tense me up and works me up. And I'm sitting there, you know, while all this is going on in the doctor's office, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, Rich, relax, 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 be calm. You know, relax. You're going to get there. Don't worry. You know, I think it finally went down to about 100. Then finally she looked at me and she said, so my wife is a nurse. And they kind of said, you know, well, maybe you need to see your family doctor, you know, to have all this checked out. I almost want to say, you know, I think you people do this intentionally. You allow us to wait out there in the waiting room for so long that our blood pressure begins to mount. And you say, oh my goodness, there's something wrong with you. I love doctors, don't get me wrong. I love, you know, these places, you know, that at least they're there to help us, you know. But I brought it on myself. I should have known better. I shouldn't have locked myself in a certain time frame. But, you know, we do that in life, don't we? We lock ourselves into a certain time frame and thinking, okay, by 11:15, God better answer. By 11:15, God better come through. Because if he doesn't, Paul says, don't be anxious. But in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know, during those anxious moments that we do have throughout life, when circumstances change, people change, and even with things, how they don't last forever, Paul's saying, look, folks, you know, I know you have a problem with anxiety. It's, you know, most people do, if they would admit that. But, you know, he said, here's the secret. He said, you need to pray. Not to pray about it. But I'm beginning to learn as far as what prayer is. You know, it's quietly waiting in the presence of God. And when I begin to look at what Paul is saying throughout his letter, to find, you know, that my source of strength and my source of comfort and my source of encouragement and my source of just resting is found in Jesus and Jesus alone. Prayer is focused upon Jesus. That's why we started, you know, in our prayer time, focusing upon the Word of God. That the Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my strength. God is good, and his goodness, when I focus upon that, he will strengthen me. Wait, the scripture says, wait. And sometimes we don't like to wait, do we? I noticed that even yesterday, you know, that when my wife and I go shopping, no matter where it's at, when you go shopping, how many of you look for the longest line so you can wait? Yeah. It's always the short line we look for. I mean, we're kind of going back and forth. Okay, where's the short line? Where's the short line, you know? And we zoom in on that one. And you know, sometimes the Lord says, you know, my dear child, will you just wait? Just wait. And rest in me. Because he is our strength. He is our all in all. And it makes sense about the petition. Because there, when you look at Paul's letter to the Philippians, Lord, I tend to complain and argue an awful lot. And I know that I'm not very gentle at times. I'm very anxious. And the Lord says, yeah, I know you are. That's why you need to let your request be made known. Because when you acknowledge the areas that you are weak in and the areas that you struggle with the most, it is then that you begin to experience my peace, his peace, as he mentions. Your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus, that passes all understanding. And Paul says, here's the secret of your mind and heart, because of what you read in your with your mind, as he says there in verse 8, think on those things that are good and praiseworthy, lovely, good report, true and honest and just. And put into practice. Begin to flesh this thing out as you rely upon me, because then the God of peace will be with you. Is that the longing of your heart? His peace. It's the longing of my heart. There is a yearning. I see it with some of the residents that I meet. They're in turmoil, they're struggling, they're in pain. Yeah, medicine is there to help, to provide what comfort that they do need. But at the same time, the bottom line is they're searching, longing for peace. And only comes through Christ. I don't know what your hang-up is. I don't know what area you're struggling with in light of what I've just shared with you. But there is peace. It's the story of Jesus, of his love, to capture that in our minds and our hearts. And that's what brings us to communion, knowing that his body was given for us and his blood was shed so that we not only be forgiven, but experience an inner healing of his peace and of his comfort. So, Father, once again, how we thank you for your goodness, how we thank you for your peace. There's so much that's going on in our world today. So much is going on in our lives as well. And we hunger and we long for such peace. We acknowledge, Lord, that we've allowed things, people, circumstances to rob us of joy. We acknowledge the fact that indeed that Lord, that there are times we haven't been very gentle in certain situations. We've said some unkind words. We've done some unkind things. We're aware of that. And Father, we look to you. We acknowledge the areas that we struggle in, because the deep longing of our hearts is to find and experience your peace. That quiet assurance, that calmness of spirit. So Jesus, we come to the table, and in the midst of what was about to unfold, and you were fully aware of what was going to happen. And yet you took time to be with your disciples. And you shared the bread. And you shared the cup. Provide the innermost healing and strength for our lives. For our bodies, for our minds. For you said in John's gospel, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, but only as I give. And so, Father, as we take the bread and the cup, may we indeed experience a peace that passes all understanding, that the God of peace will be with us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.